Clipper Audio presents an unabridged recording of A Test of Wills by Charles Todd, narrated by Samuel Gillies. This work is copyrighted 1996 by Charles Todd. This recording is copyrighted 1999 by W.F. Howes Limited. Ian Rutledge returns to his career at Scotland Yard after years of fighting in the First World War. Unknown to his colleagues, he is still suffering from shell shock and is burdened with the guilt of having had executed a young soldier on the battlefield for refusing to fight. A jealous colleague has learned of his secret and has managed to have Rutledge assigned to a difficult case which could spell disaster for Rutledge, whatever the outcome. A retired officer has been murdered. Rutledge, fighting the torment of his illness, goes to investigate. As he digs into the lives of the villagers, the witness who disturbs him most is a war-ravaged ex-soldier who chills Rutledge with the realization that he could become like this man. And now, A Test of Wills, Chapter 1. In this quiet part of Warwickshire, death came as frequently as it did anywhere else in England, no stranger to the inhabitants of towns, villages, or countryside. Sons and fathers had died in the Great War. The terrible influenza epidemic had scythed the county, man, woman, and child, just as it had cut down much of Europe, and murder was not unheard of even here in Upper Streatham. But one fine June morning, as the early mists rose lazily in the warm sunlight, like wraiths in no hurry to be gone, Colonel Harris was killed in cold blood in a meadow fringed with buttercups and cowslips, and his last coherent thought was anger. Savage, wild, black fury ripped through him in one stark instant of realization before oblivion swept it all away, and his body, rigid with it, survived the shotgun blast long enough to dig spurs into the mare's flanks while his hands clenched the reins in a muscular spasm as strong as iron. He died hard, unwilling, railing at God, and his ragged cry raised echoes in the quiet woods and sent the rooks flying even as the gun roared. In London, where rain dripped from eaves and ran black in the gutters, a man named Bowles, who had never heard of Colonel Harris, came into possession of a piece of information that was the reward of very determined and quite secret probing into the history of a fellow policeman at Scotland Yard. He sat at his desk in the grim old brick building and stared at a letter on his blotter. It was written on cheap stationery in heavy ink by a rounded, rather childish hand, but he was almost afraid to touch it. Its value to him was beyond price, and if he had begged whatever gods he believed in to give him the kind of weapon he craved, they couldn't have managed anything sweeter than this. He smiled, delight spreading slowly across his fair-skinned face and narrowing the hard, amber-coloured eyes. If this was true, and he had every reason to believe it was, he had been absolutely right about Ian Rutledge. He, Bowles, was vindicated by six lines of unwittingly damaging girlish scrawl. Reading the letter for the last time, he refolded it carefully and replaced it in its envelope, locking it in his desk drawer. Now the question was, how best to make use of this bit of knowledge without burning himself in the fire he wanted to raise? If only those same gods had thought to provide a way. But it seemed, after all, that they had. 24 hours later, the request for assistance arrived from Warwickshire, and Superintendent Bowles happened, by the merest chance, to be in the right place at the right time to make a simple, apparently constructive suggestion. The gods had been very generous indeed. Bowles was immensely grateful. The request for Scotland Yard's help had arrived through the proper channels, couched in the usual terms. What lay behind the formal wording was sheer panic. The local police force,